2017, you know, we have mixed feelings about that, do we not? I mean, 2017's really been a pretty good year in our church. I want to go. In fact, Harold, I got to do it. I don't want to do it, but I got to do it. Run, look on my desk, and there's a thing that says lightings or something. It's right on the top, I think. You'll see it. Find that and bring it to me if you would. Did you bring me that, Larry? Just a guess, but I started reading it. I was really confused, and you'll get it, because 2017's been a pretty good year, and I don't know what you think, but let me give you scripture while Harold's coming. If he runs up on that platform and does this, then I might have to leave for a minute, but that's okay. Huh? I can't. He thinks I can see that. It's a piece of paper, and he's pointing at it. So I'm guessing that's it. Oh, too funny, too funny. I love going to church, guys. The real reason I don't like to close church is because I don't want to miss it. So, yeah, that's it. I'm gonna go ahead and read scripture and then read this, because it'll make more sense to you that way. Isaiah 43, 18 and 19. Isaiah 43, 18 and 19. Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Man, I tell you what, if 2017 or years previous haven't been real good to you, cling to that verse right there. Forget the former things. I'm going to do something new, the Lord says. Now, Philippians chapter 3, and this is 12 through 14, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus laid hold of me. I love that. Jesus laid hold of me, so now I'm going to lay hold of something else. Man, that's a good picture for you. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to the things that are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Father, this morning, would you help us in this place? Lord, I am energized now. I am energized by the prayers of your people. I know this morning, God, I know this morning that there are other people and their heads are down and their hearts are heavy. They've hung their harps in the willow trees. And when they were asked to sing a joyful song, they would sing only a dirge. Father God, help us this morning to break through like you break through. Let us lay hold of our tomorrows as you lay hold of us. It'll change the way we view our future. Our future in you is set. God, we have good news to proclaim. We have good news to proclaim. And I pray that you'll help us in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm just going to break into this right in the middle of this. Actually, I wanted to tell you what is happening in that Moravia, Iowa Church of the Nazarene. Revival, that's what. This most recent Mother's Day, I sat with my family. I already told you it's Larry. It's Larry's brother wrote this. I sat with the Smith family and watched that new sanctuary fill to the gills. 222 to be exact. I bet we have more than that today on a horrible day. Isn't that funny? Oh, I probably just gave you a clue, didn't I? A bit earlier at Easter, the church hosted a gigantic Easter pageant. And they ministered to a full house in three different performances. They had to set up TV monitors in the basement so people could watch. On that Mother's Day, we watched as people swarmed to the front of the church for family prayer time. There was electricity in the air because many people in the church knew that one of the people going up to pray was a young man who was giving his heart to Jesus that Mother's Day. Wow. That was written in 1998. Could it not have, other than if you just change the numbers a little bit, could it not be written this year? That was written in 1998. I knew when I said 220, some of you are going to say, is that good? Is that a good number? I can tell you in 1998 it was. We were in the church uptown, a church that would seat 240, 18 inches. You got 18 inches to the pew. You sat like this if you were as wide as, well, we won't go on wide. You got 18 inches. That's how they calculate numbers per pew. And we had 222 people in a church that would seat 240. It was full, and it was exciting. And that night we voted to move out here. Isn't that crazy? Folks, I just want to tell you this morning, revival doesn't have to end. It's actually been going for quite a while here. It didn't start one day, and it doesn't have to end one day. Revival's up to you and I. That's what it's about. It's about us seeking God's face. So, woo, I read that, and I was like, man. And I wasn't going to do it today, and I thought, yeah, it just fits perfect. It fits perfect because we have had a season of fresh wind and fire blowing in our midst. And I'm just telling you, a few weeks ago, there was a young man that was working over in this area, and almost daily, he was driving up, coming in here, and I was in the afternoon, I was gone, and Patty told me one day, she said, you know there's a guy that's been coming here going to the altar, right? And I said, yeah. I said, well, I talked to him. She said, okay, just so somebody knows. And I said, I know. Can I tell you something? You can come in here. Well, usually if you just make a loop, there's a door open. We try to not let there be, but sometimes there's always a door open. Anytime during the day, if you ever want to just come in here and sit on that altar and look at that cross, see, I like the cross being up for Christmas because that's where this thing goes. This is all about the cross. Those songs we sang today, you say, were the teens confused? Did they think we're doing Easter? Of course we are. Every Sunday is Easter Sunday, folks. Every Sunday is a memorial to the death of the Lord Jesus until he comes back. Because very... Okay, it's holding me up. Did you walk out on it? Okay. This thing's... Let me get off of there before I would call 911. Very early... Did you hear the verse? Very early on the first day of the week, women went to the tomb to finish the burial process because they had been interrupted by time on Thursday, the day Jesus actually died. But I'm not preaching on that today. Very early on the first day of the week, they went to the tomb to finish the burial process, and they talked among themselves on the way and said, who will roll away the stone for us? And the ground began to shake. If I could sing right there, buddy, I'd be singing that song. The ground began to shake, and the stone was rolled away. And an angel said, now this is not in the Bible. The angel didn't say this to the women. I'm telling you this. The stone wasn't rolled back so Jesus could come out. The stone was rolled back so they could go in and see he wasn't there. And cute songs about, you know, I get it all, I get it. But friends, Jesus, he'll only need it for the weekend. Yeah, no, he didn't need it for 5 minutes. Jesus, shortly after they sealed that tomb, he got up, set up, said, man, that hurt, and went straight to hell. You know that, right? He went straight to hell, and he said, who's in charge here, or who thinks they are? That's who I want to talk to, because you're not. Give me the keys. Well, those are my keys. No, they're not. I just beat your rear end on a cross, and give me those keys. And Satan had no choice but to turn them over because, see, Jesus was alive, and death had been defeated, and the grave had been defeated. And woo, woo. Don't let me start preaching now. Don't let me start preaching, but I'm just going to tell you, he left there and went to a place called paradise, and the most recent arrival was a guy that had just died on a cross. And he was telling them, dude, y'all don't know this guy. Woo! Y'all don't know. You just wait. I'm expecting him here any minute. Because Jesus said, today, you will be with me in paradise. And Jesus showed up at paradise and told those people, they were the ones from the Old Testament period who had lived by faith, believing, hoping. John the Baptist was one of them. He was there. They were all hoping for a Messiah that they had not known yet. Go read Hebrews 11. I got to get going. My wife's going to kill me. Then he said, hey, I need to go see Dad, but I need to stop by and tell him that I'm not in that tomb. Remember, do not try to hold me down, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. I mean, that's a true story, guys. That's not fiction. It's not made up. It's not make-believe. That's a true story, and that's what we were singing about today. That's what we believe today. And, boy, you get down a little bit, lift up your eyes, for your redemption draweth nigh. Man, praise God. Glory to God. Woo! Feeling better. Feeling better. Doesn't take away the hurt. I'm not telling you it takes away the hurt, but it buffers. Reality is buffered by the reality of Jesus because it's bigger. Many of us deal with two ways of looking at everyday life. But around New Year, we all think about it a little bit more one way. The end of one, the coming of a new. There's two major areas that really choke people in their lives, and neither one of them glorify God. The first is dwelling in the past. You always want to look around and see if anything's coming at you at a high rate of speed when you say that. See, there's a lot of people that can't get over this. Remember Fluffy the rabbit? Remember Fluffy? It's a rattlesnake wearing a rabbit suit, dudes. I said dudes. I slipped back into the 70s there for a second. Fluffy is a rattlesnake that wears a rabbit suit, and we love bunnies. They lay their ears back, and we rub them. Then one day, he throws it off and bites us, and we go, Fluffy, I can't believe it. So I'm a rattlesnake. That's what I do. Why didn't you put that thing down when you could? See, so many people go to the altar, and they bring something, and they put it on the altar, and they get up, and they look back, and it's just sitting there with that little pink nose twitching, and they go, oh, it's so cute. Come on. And they go right back to their seat with Fluffy under arm. Hello. Hello. Praise God. You say, man, I think I'm going to dump Fluffy today. That's a great plan. That's a great plan. So, dwelling on the past chokes the life out of us because we can't live in the present. The other is the uncertainty of the future. People who can't get up and motivate themselves to go because they are too sure the hammer's going to fall. And they can't go because they don't know what's coming. Does anybody know what's coming tomorrow? Anybody in here other than a good nap? No, you don't know what's coming tomorrow. There will be ambulances tonight, late at night, running the roads of people who did not plan that. There will be people this afternoon making calls. Mom slipped off into heaven. She'll celebrate New Year's in a better place. But it will be unexpected. My wife told me just this week, Jim Dillo, former DS down in it's the Joplin district. Did y'all know that? Jim Dillo passed away. Jim Dillo was the... he's dead. I can't speak ill of him. He's the guy that lured Virgil to Joplin area. And then got Virgil a church where he attended the church. Jim Dillo liked my trainee. That's the way I look at it. That way I get a little pleasure out of the deal. But Jim Dillo died and is in heaven. But it said died unexpectedly. Y'all, we don't know what the future holds, and we do know what the past holds because we lived it out, and we are in this place torn between the two. So I'm going to preach about it just very briefly and then give you a chance to decide what you want to do with your 2017 and your 2018. Ready? If 2017 was a good year for you, if 2017 was a good year for you, and for a lot of you it was, This is it. Joshua 4, 6 through 7. That this may be a sign among you when your children ask in time to come, saying, what do these stones mean to you? Then you shall answer them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant when it crossed over the Jordan. The waters of the Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be a memorial to the children of Israel forever. Anything wrong with having a memorial? Is there anything wrong with that? It's biblical. Friends, sometimes when people come here, preachers, you know, doing revivals and things, I'll put them in our car, and I'll go uptown, and I'll drive around the square so they realize how big Moravia is. Then I come off the square on the west side, and I pull into the funeral home parking lot, and I park, and I say, that was the church when I came here in 1992. Not that, that. And they go, really? I know it doesn't look like that now. It was, we had the yard, and you know. And then I say, then I back up and I point north and I go, then we built that church. That's big. That's, a guy drove up one day and he walked up on the hill. I was standing on the western end of that great big hole in the ground, and a guy walked up and he looked down in there and he said, I heard y'all were going to build a new church. Preacher, that's a big hole. He scared me to death. Just saying those words put a panic into me. I said, what are we doing? What are we doing? And I told somebody the other day the story when we were on our knees, the board got on their knees uptown around the one altar that we had, and we prayed and we said, Lord, as Moses did, Lord, we feel like, and this church is here, this church was here, and we said, we feel like we're supposed to go. But if you're not going to go, don't make us go. And we stood up and carried the altar from uptown out here. We've tried to do things to help us remember. Those buildings help me remember. If you never went to church anywhere but in this building, that's why I wanted to read this right here from 1998. It was easy to get excited in 1998. I'm just telling you, it was. No, it wasn't. It was harder in 1998. It was impossible. It was impossible to imagine having a church with 200 and something people in it. It was impossible to think that even could happen in Moravia, Iowa. So if 2017 has been a good year for you, memorialize it in some way. Don't dwell in it. Don't try to stay there. Just mark yourself down a place. I remember, I remember, I remember, I remember. That's why I love the altar, because that's where I can say, I remember the day I hit it right there. You need those things. Good memories, good memories. When good things happen, celebrate. Oh, I got to talk about my wife real quick, because we used to use a term called, y'all ready? How many? And I've already gotten in trouble for asking how old people were. Gee whiz. How many of you, if I say the word Kodak, something comes into your mind? Kodak. It starts with a K. It's a little box. Yeah. And you hold it up to your eye and push down on this lever. You have a Kodak? Some museum's looking for it right now. How many of you remember seeing something and you go, boy, that was a Kodak moment? But you didn't have a Kodak with you. So it's just you had to remember, because you didn't have a Kodak in your pocket that not only told you what time it was and let you talk to anybody in the world, but it even called people. Phones. See, we forget what they're even for. We forget what they're for. A Kodak moment was a memorial. So my wife and I this year went to England. 2017 was a good year, man. 25th anniversary at this church. 40th anniversary of being married. We went to England to celebrate. Every night while I slept, my wife sat on Facebook, put pictures on there, and wrote like she was trying to get a job as a travel log person. And it was I would read it the next day, and I'd go, wow, did we do that? I was like, wow. Put pictures? Because we want, by the way, if when you get old, some of you that aren't, when you get old, you'll understand what I'm about to say. We want to remember that trip. And we won't if we don't have pictures and words written. So, yeah, got to go from there. So we celebrate when good things happen. We celebrate, and we need to break things down into small segments and cherish those things. When I worked at a mill, my life was broken into two parts, work week, weekend. And we didn't get a lot of weekend. A lot of times on Sunday night, we went to work. Our Monday was Sunday night. And a lot of times, we pulled maintenance on Saturday, 12 hours. And we'd worked, when it was really tough, we'd worked Friday night, 10 hours, and would come back and work 12 hours on Saturday and come back Sunday night. So when I say weekend, I don't mean a lot of time. But I went to church anyway. I won't go off on that. But my life was broken down into those two worlds, work week, weekend. And we always like to go out and eat or, you know, something to get the weekend and then go to church. So make small segments. Don't try to make the whole year make it or break it, because it'll be one or two bad or good things that define your year. You don't want to do that. Break it down into small segments and cherish those good things, and the bad things, do not remember them. Don't even consider them. Don't let them get a stranglehold on your life. So if 2017 was a good year for you, good. Good. So if 2017 was not a good year, if 2017 was not a good year, I'm going to begin right now. Right, it's just the flip-flop of the other side. Good or bad, break it down into small segments, good or bad. Now, good or bad, small segments, good or bad. It's the same idea, but especially when it's bad. Some of you know Helen King, 97-year-old lady, lives over in Ottumwa, blind, legally blind. She's not totally blind, but she lives alone. She's very lonely, and if you call her, she will talk to you as long, you know, as you let her, and I say, Helen, my phone's beeping, my battery's going dead. That means I've got about another hour before it's gone. And she just loves to talk. And so I called her back sometime in December. And she said, I don't like the holidays, Pastor. And I said, why is that, Helen? And I already knew the answer, but I like to let her tell me. She said, bad things happened in my life in December. Daddy Pangburn died in December. And I said, really? Yes, yeah, 71 years ago. Yeah. Everything she has in the past is umpteen years ago, but she still holds on to those hurts, no matter how far back they are. See, if you don't put Fluffy down, when you're older, you will not be able to remember the good, because you've kept the bad so close to you. You can't do that. You can. It's a choice you make. But if you just hold on to the negative downside of life, that's where you're going to end up living all the time. And it's not good. This morning, in this place, I'm going to ask you to let go of anything that was not good in 2017. And not store that so deeply in your memory that it comes to the front of your mind too quickly and easily. I'm going to give you a biblical example. And just to shorten it now, I'm going to give you the recap. Joseph is told to go find his brothers and see how they're doing. And he goes and they see him coming and he's wearing his coat of many colors. And they said, here comes that stinking brother of ours. I guarantee you, Dad sent him to find out if we're working. Let's kill him. Now, they weren't joking. I know some of you that have siblings, you might have said those words, you didn't mean them. They meant it. And one of them, I don't remember, Bob maybe, could have been George. One of the other brothers said, let's don't kill him. That's no good. Let's just sell him and sell him as a slave. And they liked that idea because then they were going to split the money 11 ways. Well, only 10 because his little brother wasn't even there. So there was a caravan going to Egypt. So they took his coat off of him, sold him into slavery, put blood on it. You know that story. Joseph then goes and lives in Potiphar's house. That doesn't go real well. They throw him in prison, and he's sitting in prison 2 years in prison. Wow. Now let's break into the story. He's sitting in prison and didn't do anything wrong. You think he's having a bad year? Yeah, he's having a bad life. Joseph said, now the butler and the baker, I don't know how the candlestick maker got away, but they didn't get him. But the butler and the baker are thrown in jail, and they're having these weird dreams, and he's telling them what happens, all right? So Joseph said to him, "This is the interpretation of your dream. The three branches are 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your place, and you will put Pharaoh's cup in his hand according to the former manner when you were his butler. But remember me," listen to what he said, "remember me, a memorial, when a good thing happens, when a big thing happens, remember this." Joseph says to him, "Remember me when it is well with you and show kindness to me, make mention of me to Pharaoh and get me out of this house," the prison. "Get me out of here." And it came to pass on the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast for all his servants, and he lifted up the head of the chief butler and the chief baker among his servants. He restored the chief butler to his butlership, and he placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief baker, as Joseph had interpreted to them. But the chief butler did not remember Joseph. He forgot him. Wow. Wow. The chief butler had a good thing happen, but the good thing so overwhelmed and outweighed the bad that he just put the bad out of his mind. But in the bad, in the prison, in the difficulty and the threat of that, sat Joseph, who had told him this was going to happen. And he forgot about Joseph. And it was a long time before the king had a dream, and the butler goes, "Oh, what was I thinking? Yeah, I know a guy, and I think he's still in jail." Wow, wow. The good of restoration can sometimes outweigh the bad of prison. But if the bad of prison is left to run your show, you'll be in prison for a long time. Isn't that easy? That's easy, isn't it? Our past can imprison us, or we can be liberated. And it's our call. Very often, not always, but very often, it's simply our call. Now, point three, and ushers, I need you guys in the foyer, if you would head that way. We're pressing on toward the goal of the prize of the end of this service. But that's not the verse I'm reading. Philippians 3:14. "I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." What do you want 2018 to look like? You want to make more money? Go read the notes on my board from Sunday school. Read Isaiah chapter 3. Just read the whole thing. You'll get over that. There's a day coming when you'll trade your sash for a rope to tie around you. You'll get rid of all your jewelry. You'll sell everything you have in hopes of living one more day. That's prophesied by the prophet Isaiah. It's going to be tough. You want more money? What are you going to do when money doesn't buy anything? What are you going to do when you can have a stack of money and there's no bread? And all you can do is build a fire and try to stay warm by burning your money. You say, "That's not going to happen." Then maybe in 2018 you want more money. That's a good goal. But I would suggest to you a better goal than that. There's a better goal. And it is to get closer to Jesus in 2018 than you were in 2017. And if you say, "Pastor, I don't know if I can," 2017 was a good year. You can. And if you didn't get all that close to God in 2017, then make 2018 the year you do it. As important as it is to give our past to God, it is equally, and in fact, I'm going to say possibly more important because the past is behind us. It is equally important to give our future to God. One possible reason, only one, for some bad times is we try to do it on our own. I heard the Savior say, "Thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all." Well, I don't know how y'all picked that song to do today. That was just what I needed. Just what I needed. Man, it was good. And I'm guessing there's some others. You say, "I'm so sick and tired of trying to do it on my own." Wow, I have good news today. I brought good news. I have good news. You don't have to. So, instead of doing it on our own strength, and instead of doing it without the help and guidance of God until we're so down that we say, "Oh God, you got to rescue me," how about walking with God so that He just helps us? Our steps are ordered by the Lord. The steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. That's what we should be doing. We're going to close the service today by taking communion. Riley's going to come and play something just because music helps. Communion. Come in union. I love that. Come in union. If you're a family today, you can unify around the point of family. If you're a Christian today, you can unify around the point of Christ in you. Christ's blood, Christ's sacrifice. If you're in this room today and all of this confuses you and you say, "Well, it is what it is, and I don't think anything's going to change anything," then you need to pray that God changes that attitude in you. The ushers are going to come. We're going to hand out the cups. If you haven't taken communion with us before, the top peels off. There's a wafer underneath it. Just go ahead and start distributing, guys. So the top is a little clear cellophane and it peels off just like that. Very easy. Then the foil underneath tears back, and that's the cup. Hold on to it a minute. I just was giving you a demonstration. Hold on to it just a minute. I'm going to read scripture, then we're going to open the altar again. I'm not telling you don't kneel at the altar or don't kneel at the cross, but I love to take communion, putting my hand on that cross. Then if you do that, after you're done, you can step away and go pray. But I love the cross at Christmas time, and I love the cross at New Year's time. The cross is a memorial to us. It's a memorial. Here's the scripture, 1 Corinthians 11, 23 through 26. "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" A memorial. Sunday morning church, on the day that Jesus was found to be raised from the dead, is a memorial. "Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, He took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me, as a memorial. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till He comes." How was 2017 for you? A great year? You have joy, maybe peace, maybe love, maybe greater hope for tomorrow. What do you need 2018 to be? Well, preacher, it couldn't be any worse. Then you need hope. You need to know the love of God and the peace that passes understanding and the joy unspeakable and full of glory. It's your call. While Riley plays, I'm going to invite you to make your way. And men, if you're a father here today, you want to bring your family, have a little family time, that'd be great. If you want to come to the cross, if you want to go to the altar, if you just want to take communion where you are, the altar's open right now. Feel free to come and take communion together as a family, and we'll take together as a whole here in just a minute. But if you want to come and pray, come and pray. Bring 2017 if you want to get rid of it. Sits on the throne this morning. He'll help take away the hurts. He will give us hope for tomorrow. It's an interesting thing that, according to the Bible, none of the bones of Jesus were broken that it might fulfill a prophecy from the Old Testament. Hundreds of years before, it said that his bones, although out of joint, none broke. So that's a very important thing. When we say the body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, which was broken for you, it was the beating that he took. It was the blood that he shed. So this morning, as you hold in your hand the symbolism, the emblem of the body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I like to break it and then take it together. Father, thank you, Lord, that you exposed your back to the whip. You exposed your wrist and your feet to the nails. You exposed your brow to the crown of thorns, and you exposed your side to the spear. Broken for us. Given over for us. And we're grateful. The Bible says, likewise, in the same manner, when he had taken the cup, he said, this cup is symbolic of my shed blood. And he said, I will not drink the fruit of the vine again until I am in my glorified state. And he did that. Just a few days later, he appeared to them in the glorified state and ate and drank in their presence. We'll never understand that one until we get there, but that's cool. His blood was poured out. I'm going to use a theological term. It doesn't matter about anything except the word is efficacious. And it means that's all we need. His blood still flows. There's a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. Sinners plunge beneath the flood and lose all their guilty stains. It still works today, friends. It still works today. As often as you drink this cup, do it in remembrance of me. Let's receive the cup. Father, I will never understand how on that night, even with the bread in your hand, Judas got up and walked away from that, not only unchanged, but unaffected. He went out and betrayed you. Lord, I have to believe that in 2017, we know enough now that there is no one in this room who will hold the cup in their hand and the bread in their hand, put it aside and walk out of this room unchanged. So, Father, I pray right now that your great grace will be extended to every person, that they will take seriously what they have just done. And if there's someone who has unforgiven sin in their lives, if there's someone who has not trusted you as their Savior, that they would pray that prayer right now. Lord, I receive your broken body and your shed blood for me. I hope many of you will be back tonight, teens and adults alike. We're going to